We were just talking about earlier, we had Rex Hudler on yesterday. We had Jeff Montgomery, the former closer, on today, John. There is great concern in Kansas City about Johnny Cueto. And if he has to pitch tomorrow in a game seven, there also is that, like, when it's your guy, you're going to back your guy. We're not talking Brett Saberhagen here, what Roy Halladay meant here. Fans will be on him pretty early. They know he's here for, for hopefully a good time, not a long time. They know he's out of town, signing somewhere else in 2 or 3 weeks. That could be a factor tomorrow night. We really feel that.
I agree. And obviously, listen, Cueto was very good for them in game five of the division series, which I think is certainly bearing mention here, mm-hmm. the fact that he's already sort of pitched one game where it could have been the end of his season. Therefore, that could have been his final look before free agency. And there was a lot on the line for him in that game five against Houston. He was tremendous, those 8 innings that he pitched. So I think he's already answered the bell once at home. I think it was a bit different on the road. And I think you look at his postseason history, and whether it's dropping the ball in Pittsburgh in the wild card game, I think most of his tougher moments in the playoffs have come on the road. He's been better at home. So I do think that bodes well. And listen, the Royals bullpen we know is very deep and exceptional. So I think even if I understand this concern about Cueto, and I think it's justified, but I don't think Ned Yost, if it gets to a game seven, is going to even allow Johnny Cueto to blow the game, if you know what I mean. Maybe he'd let him give up 2 or 3 runs early in the game, but he's not going to let it get out of hand because it is a game seven. He's going to have everybody available. And much like you saw even last year with the Giants, Tim Hudson left that game in the second inning.
Yeah.
So I think you see that situation in a game seven. It's different in a game six. I think the Royals would tell you they've got it lined up the way they want it to. They've got Yordano Ventura, who's been more trustworthy, certainly, than Cueto has been. I think they feel like they probably have the right guy going in game six. And you're right. They desperately want this series to end tonight.
Do they have a Chris Young lined up to go tomorrow? Similar, maybe for the Jays to consider, even Dickey for an inning or Estrada tomorrow night after Stroman. It's all hands on deck tomorrow evening.
Sure. And you raised a couple of very good names there. I think Dickey, Estrada. Boy, Estrada's been so good for the Jays. I think that you talk about free agent value, and as much as we've talked about what Price has done or not done to his trade, to his free agent value, and Cueto as well, Estrada's been phenomenal. I think he's now one of these guys that snuck up on some people as even being a free agent period this wintertime, but I think he's going to get every bit of $40 million guaranteed, maybe even more than that. I mean, I think he's exceptional, the durability and the versatility. And to your point, he's the guy that's pitched out of the bullpen before. Now, maybe not obviously after pitching as many innings as he did in game five, but I think he's a very intriguing option potentially for a seventh game. And Dickey, of course, you never quite know how the knuckleball is going to play coming out of the bullpen. So maybe there's a little bit more of a questionable factor there for Dickey. But I think, listen, the Jays are just going to try to get to a game seven. But the key thing for them tonight, I really think, is not only does Price have to pitch well, but he's got to pitch deep. Because I think if he doesn't pitch deep and the bullpen has to get involved early, then you really start to worry about what you're going to have back there for a game seven. And we know how good the Royals are late, stringing rallies together. They did it, obviously, earlier in this series. They did it to Houston in the first round. So they're a very dangerous team to try to put away, and you've got to make sure you have every possible bullpen asset ready to go. And to do that for a game seven, you have to have Price go as deep as he possibly can in game six.
So your thoughts on David Price heading in, and you, as you can imagine, the last few weeks, it's been a lot of David Price talk on this show and other shows. Your confidence level in him in this spot, and are you at the very least a little surprised that there's been just these continual moments of struggle?
Yeah, I've been surprised, and I think he's certainly due for a great outing. And really, in all fairness to him, the last outing he had was excellent up until the last inning that he pitched. So
yeah.
I think that's one thing where, and I think we have this conversation a lot with Clayton Kershaw with the Dodgers. And I maintain that if the Dodgers' bullpen was better, he wouldn't have been left in to have these struggles late in the starts, and the whole narrative of Kershaw in the postseason would be different. Now, it's not exactly the same thing with Price, but I do think he is due for a big start. I always point out, too, he pitched that huge game 163 for the Rays in Texas, complete game back in 2013. That doesn't count as a postseason start, but it was basically a postseason start. So, I mean, he's a guy that's answered the bell before in big. And I think that's worth pointing out. But so I think he's due for a big start. Yes, he can sometimes be emotional. But I actually think sometimes on the road, maybe even better for him than at home. I think that maybe there's a bit of the emotion that sort of is that sort of me against the world mentality that I think David will have every now and then that I think might actually help him out in a game like tonight. So I think for me, it's all going to be about making pitches. The tough part about the Royals lineup, though, is the lefties they have all hit lefties really well. And that's going to be the challenge. I think you look at Hosmer and Moustakas and Gordon over the course of the season, they've all been very good against lefty pitching. So it's not as though there are those spots in the lineup where David can almost take a break and say, listen, all I have to do is flip a few good sliders to this guy and he's out. That's not really how the Royals lineup works. They put the ball in play so well. They hit fastballs so well. So I think Price is going to maybe the trick is to change speeds a little bit more, rely on the off-speed stuff a little bit more than he normally would. And obviously that's true on the other side too, because now all of a sudden we're at the point in the series, guys, where you've now seen a pitcher for the second time. And that can sometimes help different hitters and pitchers, and sometimes it hurts them in the same sense. So you have a second look at them. It now comes down to who has the better adjustment based on what happened earlier in the series.
I don't know what pressure means, and I think sometimes fans feel it more than players. You get into this day-to-day routine. But has the pressure shifted to Kansas City now that the series is back there? And at what point do you feel it? Or is that after tonight's game?
You know, that's a great question. I think that for me, the Royals are in a situation where they know what their ultimate goal is for the season. And obviously, the Jays want to win the World Series, too. But the Royals were the team that got there to within one swing. One swing, if Perez hits a home run instead of popping up, the Royals win the World Series. So I think that when you get that close and you have home field advantage, you have the best record in the American League during the regular season, your mandate is so clear as to what you're supposed to do, what you have to do. And that's, you have to win the World Series. That's all they can do to make it a better season than what they did last year, getting all the way to Game 7. So I think that they do have some pressure on them. And I think that tonight, though, Ventura has pitched very well for them at home in the playoffs traditionally, obviously including last year in the World Series, two very good starts against the Giants, both at Kauffman Stadium. But I think there's a comfort level with him. And, of course, now your bullpen has been rested after the off. They weren't really very much involved in Game 5, at least their A relievers. So I think you look at it and say, you know what, we're lined up pretty well for tonight. But I'm with you. If the Royals lose this game, then all of a sudden I think the nerves start to kick in. Then all of a sudden we're thinking about, are we about to blow a 3-1 lead with a guy on the mound that was totally shaky the last time we saw him. So I think that all of a sudden changes the whole mentality and the approach of that team. You're right, because Cueto, I think one of the strengths of the Royals is how well they've played together. They come together so well. Those rallies they've built, it's a lot of base hits, a lot of just not striking out, keeping the ball in play, keeping the line moving, that sort of team ethic. But as you guys pointed out, Cueto has only been part of this team for 2 months. It's not quite that same buy-in level and that same familiarity and comfort that the Royals have with the guys that have been there for years through the minor league. So it's very different. So I think that the comfort level, the focus, and the confidence is different with Cueto than maybe with the guys that have been there longer. So I think you hit a great point there, Andrew. I think there's a lot of questions right now about how things are going to go with the Royals, and that's why tonight, obviously, it's a huge game. We all know that. But I think that it could be a huge momentum shift from the mentality standpoint of the Royals, who have been so comfortable in their own skin for so long. Maybe now if it has to go to a seventh game, they'd question themselves just a little bit.
John Morosi, Fox Sports, our guest. Don't forget, from Fox, Joe Buck, Harold Reynolds, Tom Verducci will call tonight's game. 8 o'clock start on Sportsnet. So we threw this question. I know you know Danny Nobler well from Michigan. We threw this to him a little bit earlier, and I said the 91 Braves had a 25-year-old Tom Glavine, a 24-year-old John Smoltz, and a 21-year-old Steve Avery before they got Greg Maddux via free agency. So if I told you the Mets had something similar, is that overhyping what the Mets have in not just the three guys that are going to pitch games 1, 2, and 3, but also Zach Wheeler coming back next year? Could this be, it's hard to predict 10, 12 division titles in a row, but the Mets have the rest of the NL and the NL East running pretty scared, don't they, with what they've done?
Sure, and it's very interesting. And it's a great question to ask, because actually John Smoltz himself was asked this question earlier in the season, and his answer was that the Mets have far better stuff than the Braves ever did. That was John. That's coming from John. So if John says it, then it's good enough for me. If that's his take on it. So I think that obviously, and to John's point, stuff of these guys is tremendous. It's overwhelming. And what they did in the NLCS so well is they located. And that to me, in a situation where you are going into your first NLCS ever as a group, and you are locating as well as they did, That was what Joe Madden really pointed out. That's certainly what I think a lot of us saw. Big moments where the Cubs were almost on the verge of making the game closer, getting back in or taking the lead. The Mets were always there to make the next pitch in the perfect location. The Mets never trailed the entire series. The Cubs never had a lead. It's amazing. So you look at what they've done, and I think this has a chance to be one of the great historic rotations we've seen for a long time. Now, Mats has had a hard time staying healthy. DeGrom, of course, Harvey, both of them had Tommy John in the past. So there is that concern about the health, but there is every reason to believe they can do it. And from a historical standpoint, you look at what they've done. All 27 or younger, mm-hmm. all four of those starting pitchers made their major league debuts with the Mets and then debuted in the playoffs in the same victorious playoff series. That's only happened once before in the history of the game. That was the Giants back in 2010 with Lincecum and Kane and Bumgarner and Jonathan Sanchez. So this is really almost without precedent in the history of baseball. And again, the stuff they've got, the age they're at, and again, as you point out, they get Zach Wheeler back next year. So the Mets, it's very ironic, guys. They have a lower payroll than the Jays, a lower payroll than even the Royals. Think about that. The Mets have a lower payroll than the Royals. Now, obviously, it's because of the Wilpons and the money they lost with the whole Madoff thing. We know the reason why, but the point is, whatever the cause of it, it's now basically a mid-market success story with a very responsible payroll, a lot of young talent. So the Mets, regardless of why they had to do it this way, they've done it this way, and now it's a really amazing story to watch unfold.
So, I mean, let's be honest. Jeff Blashill puts this Pulkkinen, Tatar, Nyquist line together, and are they really going to be able to duplicate what Tampa did last year? I mean,
I got to tell you what, Andrew. I will tune back in to hockey once baseball's over.
Hey, you and me both.
I've caught little snippets. I know the Habs are off to a good start. I saw that. I'm aware of that. I know the Blues were playing pretty well up until they ran into the Habs. So I followed that part. But guys, traveling out to these outposts where I've been, like Kansas City, I can't get a lot of hockey talk when I'm out there. So so I'm a little behind there, but I do understand. I think the Wings are going to have a pretty good team.
There's a kid playing at Edmonton that's pretty good right now. So try to catch some of those highlights.
Now, I have heard that part. I have heard that part, and I understand it's pretty good. But, hey, Dylan Larkin's pretty good too, isn't he?
Dylan Larkin is, yeah. My Eichel for Calder campaign took a big hit in the last week. Because McDavid is playing now.
Guys, we got a lot of season left before we talk about the Calder, don't we?
Thomas Moclair has a better chance of being prime minister right now than Jack Eichel has of winning the Calder.
He doesn't know. Sorry, who that, Brady. Yeah. That's
I know who that is. I follow Canadian politics.
I know. Yes. Yale has a better chance of beating Harvard next year in the football game.
Okay. Now you're putting it in terms that my brain can comprehend.
Or it's a yacht race or a rowing race or a regatta. Anyway.
Crew,
of course.
The regatta,
yeah. Well, yeah. I did crew. Just look at my arms. Hey, listen, thanks for doing this for us. We loved having you on as always, John.
My pleasure, guys. Great talking to you.